The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today, coming to you from Ferndale, Michigan, at Axel Brewery and Livernois Tap, just a little bit up the road from campus. Across from me is Professor Stephanie Conant.
Hello there.
How are you?
Good. This is a nice change of venue.
It is a nice change of venue.
There are refreshments.
A little ambient noise. We have refreshments. Next to you, of course, is Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always, or back here again for me, but...
Thanks for coming. Dave was just regaling us with stories of drawing
potatoes. Yes, I'm working for potato people this week, so... Okay. It could be worse.
I feel like I could draw a potato.
Yeah, I could draw potatoes easily, so... Sweet potatoes, the rage.
Is this some sort of marketing campaign?
It is.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens.
But you after know. A long day, you're fried, right?
I'm sure.
Continuing around the table, Professor Jim Tubbs is here.
Hello. It's
hello,
nice
hello.
Here. The air conditioning works without being 500 decibels.
It's very nice when the air conditioning is working. That is for absolute
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
I had some issues with that in my building over the last few days, unfortunately.
Uh-oh.
So. Yeah.
Well, particularly the last couple of days when it's been over 90.
Yeah.
Nothing like a really, really hot weekend to, like, charge all the stone of the building with its, like, maximum heat capacity.
Yeah, and then the oven effect.
Exactly. We're going to keep going around the table and see if we can talk to Professor Prasad Venugopal.
Hey, I'm thrilled this is being done in my backyard.
That's
I
right.
I live less than a mile away from here.
Excellent.
It's cool. This is a cool place.
It's a very cool place.
So this was a cool
you're
idea.
A Ferndalian?
I'm a Ferndale-like or Ferndalian. Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
Have you been before?
Once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're good citizens of Ferndale. That's
oh,
what
good.
I heard.
Professor Dan Maggio is here, even though his bedtime is coming up.
I said 10, not 4.
Oh, no.
Hi, look, Matt. How are you?
Look, I go to bed before you do. I just think it's great that you and I have something we can share. Another thing we can share.
What time do you go to bed? 8. 9, 7.
Somewhere around 8.
You know, you have eight? To say, because you raised the question first.
I know. No, I have to say. I'm usually, depending on how well the Tigers are doing.
Gotcha.
You know.
So those extra innings kill your sleep, right?
That's one way to put it.
Okay.
Anything beyond the 6th can kill my sleep at this point.
But you have some flexibility in the summer. You don't have to be in at 6 o'clock.
Well, you know, we're like high school teachers. We sleep in coffins all summer and pop out the day before classes start, right? Isn't that what happens usually?
You guys get coffins? Man. Oh.
We're very goth.
Some of them even have linings.
Professor Heather Hill Vasquez is here. Now, you are continuing to extend your sabbatical. How is that going?
Okay. All right.
Is it going to be, like, really tough to get back in the lecture hall in the fall, or what?
No, I'm actually looking forward
okay.
to it. Yeah, I need to get back into a schedule.
Your film class flyer looked pretty interesting, I gotta say. Kind
yeah,
of exciting.
I've got some intriguing ideas, yeah.
Is there a theme you're going with?
Yeah.
Which?
We're going to look at films like Black Panther and Wonder Woman and...
Putting meaning in adventure films.
Putting meaning, yeah.
Oh.
You know, can superheroes battle racism and sexism, and why does it take superheroes to battle those kinds of things? But anyway, it's still in the mix, and I'm still thinking about it. But
cool. Very cool.
While I'm battling deer on my property, I'm also trying to
eating
put together.
Eating your flowers.
Yes. What? I hope I don't smell like deer repellent.
Well, hold on. What are you using for deer repellent this time?
Some of it is commercial and some of it is a home blend.
Okay.
But I wouldn't give away the ingredients necessarily.
Okay.
Are we talking about coffee?
Do not ask any more questions.
Yeah, you're right. I'm
no,
trying to. No.
Just we'll tell you later.
Okay. I think I know. I don't think I want to know.
We're going to do a quick zip around to the other corner because, of course, Professor Joe Abbasid is here as well.
For the record, I was here before everyone.
That's true.
Yeah.
And for the record, how was your trip to the record shop?
I didn't quite get there. I ended up going some other place because it was a lot farther than I thought. I thought we were closer to 9 Mile. Had I known, I would have just stayed here.
Oh, but, that's all right.
It was a good walk.
We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you. Oh, you walked.
Yeah.
Well, it's perfect weather, so you're in good shape.
Yeah. Right.
Ferndale's a great walk in town.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
For the record, on this show, the record doesn't matter.
That's right.
No, it doesn't. So...
Well, folks, this is a program you can send us questions regarding anything. It's been a while since we've had that all-important walking problem set to work on. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes, like, I don't know, an autograph photograph. If you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize like an ATP mug. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP or find us on Facebook. Not necessarily a set of questions, but we received a communique from Chris Bovitz of Lakeville, Minnesota. Greetings, professors. First, I subscribe to your quiz show as a podcast, and I enjoy listening to it every week, so thanks for that. Now, the reason for my writing you. You had some facts wrong at the beginning of 1836.
No.
Show, not the year.
Uh-oh. Oh, I was going to say.
Outdoor shadows are shortest at solar noon, which is when the sun is due south and highest in the sky, and that varies by location within the time zone and the time of year, and doesn't always coincide with what's called clock noon. I think what was being implied, quote, it doesn't exactly happen where we are, was the center of the time zone, which for Eastern time zone is 82.5 degrees west longitude, and is independent of which parallel latitude you're on at the time. Also, during daylight savings time, solar noon is closer to clock 1 o'clock p.m. than it is to clock noon. Little fun facts on the side here from Chris Bovitz. The common border between the Dakotas is not the 45th parallel, it's the 46th. Very important stuff.
Oh.
And I think I've heard this one before. It's kind of cool. Paris, France is actually further north than International Falls, Minnesota by quite a bit, according to the latitude. So pretty fun stuff.
I was on the first question, I would just say that we're kind of pressed for time, so we couldn't say all of
that. Oh, yeah, no, it's really important. Right? We want to make sure we keep our latitude and longitude going.
Case. So we're always pressed for time.
We're going to move on to a set of questions here. Dear professors, it's been a few years since I submitted some questions. There hasn't really been anything to inspire me.
Wow.
It's also been busy because I moved from Woodland Hills, California to Palm Springs. Yes, it does get hot out here. After a lot of thought, I came up with an interesting topic for some new questions, the 1980s. In no particular order are 10 trivia questions about that decade. You may find the questions difficult, because all the panelists were born after the 1980s.
I lived through them.
It's like yesterday.
The parenthetical is, I can hear your laughter. A passing score is 90%. I set the bar high because I need a new mug. Best regard, Mr. Alan Ira, who sent us questions a lot in the past.
Thank you, Alan.
Yes. P.S., please don't try too hard, because I really want that mug. P.P.S., even if I don't stump you, I hope you find these questions educational.
Let's just start off. Parachute pants.
Parachute pants. You think that's going to be the first question?
It's got to be.
Mullet.
No, bell bottoms of the 70s.
Kasha Goo Goo.
Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah. Thompson Twins.
Sledgehammer.
Stop.
Sure.
Stop.
You're using up all the good stuff. Okay.
Just trying to cut to the chase.
Let's see if I can try to do things this way and if our engineer says that's a problem. What was the highest grossing film of the entire decade, the 1980s?
E.T.
It was E.T., yep.
Nice.
Hey.
Let's see if you guys can, you know, just as sort of a bonus point. In the hundreds of millions, what was the box office gross in 1980s dollars?
$700 million.
What was that, Jim?
$700
million. I mean, you're pretty close. $792 million. Oh. Yeah, it was a big one. For the longest time, that was the top grossing movie of all time, right? Who knows how they count it now? I don't know. A movie can make like $800 million and still be a flop. I don't get it, so... What was so important about the 28th of January, 1986?
That's Challenger. The Challenger.
It was the Challenger explosion, unfortunately. Yes.
Right.
Listed here as the Challenger disaster.
Right.
Very sad. I know exactly where I was when that happened. I was in my sixth grade classroom.
Yep. They rolled the TV in on the cart.
That's right. Oh, they rolled the TV in. Absolutely. What memorial was dedicated on the 13th of November, 1982?
Vietnam veterans
veteran memorial
Washington.
It holds the names of how many who were killed or missing in action during that conflict.
59,000.
58,000. Dan,
nice job.
Pretty much on the ball. Wow, that's pretty solid right there. Didn't even have to do a calculation.
Designed by an architecture student at Yale.
Yes, that's right. Great story. Who said the following? And what was he or she referring to? There exists a shadowy government with its own Air Force, its own Navy, its own fundraising mechanism, and the ability to pursue its own ideas in the national interest, free from checks and balances and free from the law itself.
Fred Rogers. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, actually, there was such a thing on Scandal, but that was much later.
What, like Ollie North or somebody like that?
You're pretty dang close.
Al Haig.
Nope. It was a senator. It was a senator.
Senator.
Frank Church?
What state?
I wish I could tell you. I remember the name, but I don't remember. Let's see. No, I don't know if it's...
It's a spooky paranoid.
Huh. It's Iran-Contra. I mean, you guys kind of gravitated to that quickly. It was Senator Daniel Inouye.
From Hawaii.
Hawaii. Gotcha. Okay, does he get a mug?
We're not done yet.
We're at 90%, technically. Right. Technically. Who was Time Magazine's Man of the Year 1982, back when they used to call it?
Was it Pac-Man?
It was not Pac-Man, but you're closer than you think.
The computer?
It was the personal computer. That's right.
I remember the cover. That's about all I remember.
There you go. So what year was it? It doesn't say here, but when did they stop saying Man of the Year? Because that's pretty sexist.
Was it one of the years that Queen Elizabeth got it, I think? I think that might have been it. So,
who wrote the following? Your prodigal son has gone again. I have some demons I must exorcise. Very, very famous, not all there person.
Timothy Leary.
Charles Manson?
No.
We need a little more possible murder assassination going on.
Hinckley?
It was Hinckley, yeah. It was John Hinckley Jr.
Oh.
He wrote this on a note to his parents after leaving home in efforts to assassinate Ronald Reagan.
Okay. To impress Jodie Foster.
Yeah, to impress Jodie Foster. She wasn't impressed.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, recorded in June at Axel Brewery in Ferndale, Michigan. You can send your questions to the professors by email at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to this special summer edition of Ask the Professor.
And we're back, and we're going to take on some more questions from our longtime listener, Alan Ira.
These are really cool.
What was so important about 1 August 1981 with regard to television?
Was it
MTV?
That was
MTV?
The first music video, which, of course...
Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles.
Buggles was aired on MTV. That's exactly
right. Followed by Pat Benatar.
Absolutely.
When I die, that's the last fact I'm going to remember. The song. The first song.
Of course, I think Take On Me was probably the most... remembered one.
And now the Ask the Professor chorus will sing.
Oh my gosh.
Radio Kill. Oh, wait a minute. The other way around.
Video killed the radio star.
Radio
so
killed
what
the
killed
video
the video star.
Star
then? Probably the internet, right?
Probably.
Yep. YouTube killed the video star.
That too.
We have a number of Ask the Professor coasters here today that people are picking up as they walk by.
They're also great for leveling tables and rickety chairs.
You should have said a number of fans who have traveled a great distance
to see us in person. And all of our faces for radio.
Oh,
I'll speak about myself. On the 5th of June, 1981, the Center for Disease Control, let's note we have an immunologist at the table.
No pressure whatsoever.
Issued a note in its Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. I'm sure we all read it. The blurb reported, in the period of October 1980 to May 81, five young men were treated for biopsy-confirmed pseudomyces.
It wasn't called that yet, but it
was. I'll try again. What is it?
Yeah.
Pneumocystis carini pneumonia?
Right.
At three different hospitals in L.A., two died. The occurrence in these five previously healthy individuals without clinically apparent underlying immunodeficiency is unusual.
Yes.
HIV and AIDS.
And what did it turn out to be?
The earliest
flight attendant that brought it into Kansas or something.
Ew.
Do you read the weekly report, the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report? I don't know.
I don't know if
we're
they
subscribing.
Do.
That's all.
There's a journal.
There's a journal. Yeah.
But, I don't
but
know
you feel like it's that. One of those like email digests that you get. You know.
Right.
Who was the East German official who announced on the 9th of November, 1989, that travel from East to West Germany would be allowed?
Honecker? Honecker? Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at Jim.
I know. Jim knows this stuff.
No, I don't.
Hold on.
Okay, sorry.
Was it Werner?
East German official. Do you remember this story? Basically, he flubbed it at the press conference, and then everybody was like, "You seriously? We can travel?" And then suddenly the gates were open.
Just knocked everything down.
Yeah. His name was Gunter Schabowski.
Of course.
Gunter. Good old Gunter.
Here's your mug.
Sure, of course. Yeah. Now, that was really obscure.
It's relatively obscure.
Well, he'd sort of been left high and dry by Gorbachev.
Right. Oh, it's true. Absolutely true. Okay, one more from Alan Ira. According to Publishers Weekly, what was the best-selling novel of 1980?
1980.
Heather?
1980.
Stephen King, something or other.
You're gravitating in the right direction. It's
Amityville
not King.
Horror?
Let's see if we can get the right author.
Agatha Christie?
Wasn't Agatha Christie. Nope.
Was John Grisham around then?
Nope.
Was it some schlock romance writer?
I bet I could
Thornbirds?
I bet I could give it to you. It was not a schlock romance writer. It definitely was an American author. On The Simpsons, they often make reference to this author being sold by the pound instead of by the book.
Not John Updike.
No.
Although John Updike does appear on The Simpsons.
Nobody gets this one, huh?
Hold on, by the pound.
Philip Roth.
Philip Roth is a good answer.
Philip Roth?
No.
By the pound.
Initials J.M. as the author.
James Michener.
Michener, yes. It was The Covenant. The Covenant by James Michener.
Oh, okay, the South
Michener.
African one, yeah.
And basically it's like 5,000 pages or
it's
something.
It's pretty
like
thick.
That.
I now realize why I have blotted the 80s out of my memory.
Can I put a plug in real quick here?
Of course.
So if you're a fan of the 80s, have you seen Real Player One, the movie?
Ready Player One?
Ready Player One, sorry, Ready Player. You have?
No, my kids did.
Go see it.
Dan's getting royalties for that.
I am not. I thought it was a great movie.
I heard a lot of people they liked it, but it was so not the book. They liked the book a lot.
What movie are you talking about?
Ready Player One.
We have a set of questions that were sent to us by the inimitable Kimberly Richards from also out in California. California game is strong today. Kimberly always does a very good job of giving us lots of background on the correct responses, so let's see what we can do with these. It looks like it's a literary question. How were the words nutter, skip, and jumper in the British editions of Harry Potter Americanized for U.S. publication?
Okay, you need to repeat the words.
Nutter?
Nutter. What's a nutter?
It's a cookie?
Mm-mm. Although I thought of Nutter Butters, too.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds good.
Are these three words related?
They are not. They're completely different things.
But they're just British versions of common...
A nutter, is that like a crazy person?
A nutter is a crazy person. Like it's a maniac.
Oh, okay.
So when someone's a nutter, they just figure that people wouldn't get it. What about skip? What's a skip in British
Captain.
Slang?
Like a leader? No?
It's not a curling thing, is it?
No. It's an everyday term. I'm trying to see if I can look out the window and find one. It's a dumpster. A dumpster is a skip.
Skip?
Huh. Interesting.
Probably you'll be able to get this one quickly. What's a jumper?
A jumper?
Is it like a sweater?
A sweater.
A sweater.
Yeah, a vest.
Yeah.
A pullover.
Oh, he said jumper.
Jumper?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I couldn't quite hear over the wonderful
I was thinking
flame
jumper. That's awesome.
Axel
I know when the seventh book came out that J.K. Rowling immediately got on social media. She had used the word fug, F-U-G. As a synonym for fog, and people thought that it was a massive misprint and every book had one letter out of it. She's like, no, it's a real word, and I used it purposefully, thank you very much. Which is just her style.
Like aluminium.
Like yeah.
What's wrong with aluminium? I grew up in India learning it as aluminium, only to be told it's aluminum.
And Prasad also calls cookies biscuits.
Biscuits.
What's wrong with that?
My life was good with aluminum and biscuits.
Oh
probably
gosh.
One inside
aluminum
the other.
Biscuits. Let's continue here, see what's happening. What major rule change regarding fouled players did the NBA make during the 1923-24 season?
What season again?
Something about fouls in the 23-24 season in the NBA.
Yeah, you took foul shots.
It was foul shots. No, you're absolutely right. The people who were fouled had to technical take their own fouls? Shots. Previously, each team has a designated shooter, which is kind of interesting.
I did not know that.
An earlier change in the rules removed the requirement for a player's second foul, mandating his removal without substitution until the next successful goal, which was taken from hockey, by the way. Free throws were introduced as part of the earlier change, originally worth 3 points each. Then they got changed to one. So, yeah, Joe knows his sports. He's a good guy. What's the only North American bird that is black underneath but white on top?
A cormorant?
Magpie?
Cardinal?
Ornithologists say it's wearing a tuxedo backwards. Where's Jacob?
The North American crow.
An auk, a puffin, what else?
Starts with the letter B. It's a weird word. You guys don't know this one? I don't think we have them in Michigan, so,
Hold on.
Yeah, if it's not in Michigan, we shouldn't be expected to know it.
Everybody,
you know?
Pull out your Audubons.
Okay.
Flip to the bees. The name of the bird is the bobolink, is what it's called. Or bobolink.
Yeah. Remember that?
Remember learning that one in third grade.
Yeah, I remember reading about that one in The Three Stooges. It was Curly.
Oh, really?
It was Curly Q Link's uncle, bobolink.
Oh.
Long story. Yeah.
Remember learning that one.
Curly Q Link.
Bobolink?
Good reference from a year ago.
I have not seen too many whistle pigs.
Or taco
cats. I'm happy to say.
Taco cats.
Oh, they were all eaten by whistle pigs.
This is pretty incredible here. Which four states among the contiguous 48
that's a good thing
never had humorous rhyming Burmashave ads posted along their roads?
North Dakota. No, there was it Connecticut or Vermont didn't allow billboards.
I don't have that here.
Yeah, what was it? What's the question?
So which four states among the contiguous 48 never had humorous rhyming Burmashave ads along their roads?
They're not billboards.
Florida.
Nope. Traffic was considered too light for three of them.
Montana.
Wyoming. Wyoming.
No.
No, contiguous.
No, contiguous.
Vermont, Rhode Island.
Alabama.
You guys haven't hit a single one of them.
You know what it is? We don't have our map over us.
Montana.
We don't have the map.
It's a big
New
deal.
Hampshire. New Mexico.
Missouri.
Maryland.
Nevada.
So, Arizona. Okay. New Mexico and Nevada.
Wait, he did. I said Nevada.
I apologize. That's good. But there was
Missouri.
One state, the fourth one. The
Kansas.
Roads were considered too winding and the roadside foliage too thick to put up a billboard. A very populous state, but a small one.
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts is what it says.
Yeah, because that was the one, like I said, I think it was a first lady that wanted, highway beautification, and she did not allow them. Yeah, that was probably it then.
Exactly.
But Vermont does not allow billboards. You are correct.
The amusing ads, Kimberly ads, posted between 1925 and 1963 in groups of five or six,
beautify
carried
America.
Messages such as the famous "Passing school zone, take it slow, let our little shavers grow."
Aww.
Burma shave, very cute. Very, very cute.
Wow, I didn't know women shaved back in the 20s.
Really? Okay. The first railroad workers union in the United States was the Brotherhood of Footboard, founded in 1863. So what's a footboard?
Is that like a running board or like a porter?
You're pretty close. You're actually pretty close with that.
What? What'd you say?
I'm thinking like a porter or somebody like that?
The person who puts that little stool on there that you climb up on and go in.
You said footboard?
Footboards, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Footboard. Is that where they stand when the train is moving?
Yes, but in a very specific place.
Between the cars.
Between the cars is what I thought, but that's not what it is. Actually.
Not down the steps of each carriage, like you got the... No?
No.
What about to help you up into your berth?
You know, it says here, it's the catwalker platform at the very front of the actual locomotive. Like in the front of the numbers and the light. So
that's fascinating because in India,
no, it's not.
If you were, it is because in India, if you were traveling, if you try to catch a bus and all you managed to do was get on those first two or three steps, Because in India, there are no doors closing and things like that. It's open. You were traveling footboard.
Really?
So you got on the first or second step, or you had one toe on one of those steps.
You have to pay full fare.
You had to pay full fare, but you were holding onto the handle. No, no, it's just like a front door, back door here, as in these buses, but just no doors.
So you just hung on for dear life until the...
You hung on for dear life, and you were traveling footboard.
Because they've got those step things that run along the length of the carriage.
Those guys knew how to do it, and it was guys. It was all young, 18, 20-year-old guys. Yeah, somebody else paid for them. Or
it's now the Brotherhood of Engineers and Train People, so no longer is the footboard mentioned, what can I say? What board
Probably
game was developed during World War II as a diversion for people waiting out air raids and air raid drills in bomb shelters?
Monopoly?
Mm-mm.
Scrabble?
No. What? No.
Battleship.
Backgammon.
What game takes forever to play? Those are good guesses.
Uno.
Yahtzee.
Uno.
Candyland.
It has a slightly different name in England than it does in America.
Simon Says.
Snakes and Ladders.
It's a board game. It's a board game. Board.
Candyland.
Shoots and Ladders.
I already said Candyland.
You guys have hit like every major
risk.
Sorry. Game except
life.
For...
Yeah, risk is a risk of
Clue.
Game.
Rook.
Clue. Yeah. It's Clue.
Oh, Cluedo. Mm-hmm.
Which is known as Cluedo in England. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
They call it in England.
Cluedo.
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 Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And was it? It's a different victim, too, if I remember right.
That's right. 29 spin-off games. Maybe Monopoly is going to beat it now that they have that cheaters edition, right? This animal has twice as many taste buds as a human.
Okay. A rat, a possum.
No.
A mole.
Yeah, that's...
A skunk.
Tell us what they eat.
Alligator?
Everything.
A roach?
It's a fish.
A fish.
What kind of fish?
A shark?
That's what I'm looking for.
A shark.
It's not a shark.
That would be
it's
the
not a
answer.
Shark, although it is an American fish.
Salmon, trout, perch.
It says here the American catfish
hundreds
of thousands of taste buds.
A catfish will eat anything.
True.
Yeah, bottom but do feeder. They have that many taste buds, or can they taste distinguish that many different flavors?
That's a good point, because it says mostly the evolutionary answer to why this exists is to help the catfish search for food and sense harmful substances in muddy water. So it's not like it's
they're a bottom
the greatest
feeder.
Palate in the world or anything like that, right?
So. I know people that won't eat catfish because they don't know what they've eaten.
That's half the fun.
Oh, are we at the end of the show? Holy smokes. Well, it looks to me like we're going to have to say goodbye, so I'll go backwards around the table. Professor Hill Vasquez.
Bye-bye.
Professor Maggio.
Bye.
Professor Venugopal.
Bye-bye.
Professor Abbasid.
Take care.
Professor Tubbs.
Good afternoon.
Professor Chow.
See you.
Professor Conan.
Goodbye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM. Or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page. Today's edition of Ask the Professor was recorded at the Axel Brewery in Ferndale, Michigan. Our on-site engineers were Brian Masonville and Jared Gustenkors. Our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. And I'm Michael Jason, inviting you back next week for another edition of Ask the Professor.